yes, they did you wrong. You know, they talked about you, whatever it is. Maybe they excommunicated you from them. But listen, what God is doing in your life could be way bigger than just about what they did to you and what happened to you. It could be to preserve their life, right? It could be something that God is doing in you to help them down the road. They're ignorant. They're doing ignorant things. They're talking crazy, doing silly stuff. They don't have- Hey, what's going on, family? Welcome back to the podcast. I pray that all of you guys are doing well. I pray that you are having an excellent week so far. Listen, this week, we're going to talk about something that may be, you know, sensitive to some, may be enjoyable to some, but we really want to talk about, you know, family relationships, and not only with, you know, family, but, you know, our loved ones, you know, spouses, children, whoever. But, you know, even if it's a working relationship, like I really wanted to talk about, you know, the importance of our relationships this week on the podcast, but also, you know, how we can look at some of these relationships that we have, whether we feel like they're going good or whether we feel like they're going bad. Maybe, you know, we're in a situation where we're not talking to family members or we're not talking to friends, or maybe, you know, God forbid, you may be married and right now separated from your spouse, not talking, upset, or maybe in the house and, you know, not talking and upset and things of that nature. And I think it's important because, you know, and I talk about this all the time on the podcast, that the day and times that we are living in, that, you know, the things that we see happening, the things that are going on all, you know, going on all around us, like we're truly going to need one another, and we're going to need to nurture and keep the relationships that we have, especially the relationships that we have with people, you know, for a very long time, people that we know we can trust. You know, we may not always get along with them, but at least we know with this individual, we know what we're getting, right? Like we know who this person is, because what we're seeing now a lot, you know, in today's time is people making, you know, and I'm not saying that you can't make a new relationship, right? Like you can absolutely, you know, make new relationships. You know, that's what life is about, is meeting new people, you know, making relationships, you know, whether that's in a working capacity, church capacity, whatever have you. But we do have to be very careful nowadays because things aren't, you know, what they used to be. And we see things, unfortunately, especially when it comes to other human beings, getting worse, right? We see people meeting online and, you know, losing their lives, you know, thinking that they're going to meet somebody that, you know, cares about them and loves them because they've been talking to them online. Or we see people that have had, you know, relationships with somebody for a very long time. And I'm not talking about just like a sexual or a loving relationship. I mean, even friendships, right? We see these videos where, you know, young ladies or young men, they go on vacations with people that are considered or supposed to be their friends, and they end up not making it back, right? Somehow they're killed and now the friends don't know anything. They go on a boat ride with some friends and all of a sudden they disappear. Like these are the types of stories that we're hearing. So we want to really talk about family and about relationships, you know, no matter what kind of relationship that is very important to do so. And one of the reasons why is, like, you know, and me being, you know, a preacher and being in the church that I've been in now, a member of for the last, I believe this year will be, man, I think 22 years actually. And, you know, just from a church standpoint, right? You know, let's say people that may used to go to the church and may have left for whatever reasons, their own personal reasons, or they may have had, you know, a problem with somebody else in the church or leadership or whatever have you. And we see this with families as well. Like you'll run into somebody, right? And you'll ask them, how are things going? And, you know, they'll say something like blessed and highly favored. You know, they'll go out of their way to make sure that you know that they're all right and that they're doing well and nothing's wrong. And whether that's, you know, them explaining this from a church hurt relationship or family hurt relationship, like it's somebody that you know what's going on with them in their lives. And they're sitting there, you know, saying these sayings, you know, trying to convince you that all is well. But if you let them talk long enough, a lot of times the truth comes out, right? A lot of times they're hurt. You know, a lot of times they're broken. A lot of times they're offended. So it's important that we, you know, put these things on the table and talk about these things, because there's some things that we can learn from this, right? There's some things that are very important that we should understand and know when it comes to when we find ourselves in these situations. And one of the people that can speak to this, you know, I think very well is our brother Joseph, right? If you know anything about the story of Joseph, you know, it starts in Genesis chapter 37. And I think when it comes to family relationships and dealing with, you know, family hurt, I think Joseph is the one that can probably speak best to us about it. But not only can he speak to us about family hurt, but he can also speak to us about why it's so important not allowing, you know, a division from a family member, loved one, or whatever have you, to affect where you are going and where you are heading, right? Because you got some people that, you know, relationships don't work out, whether, like I said, with a family member, somebody that they were in a regular relationship with, or even their children, you know, something happened and you know, they get into it and they part ways. But everybody don't part ways and handle the situation well. And I want to kind of talk about, you know, how Joseph handled the situation that happened with his brothers. And just to give you a little background on the story, you know, and when you get a chance, please read the story, Genesis chapter 37, about Joseph, a beautiful story. I think we can learn a whole lot from his life and what he went through. But basically, you know, the Bible talks about how he was, you know, favored by his father. His father had made him a coat of many colors, you know, because he had him, you know, at an old age. And because of this coat of many colors, the Bible says that his brothers was envious of him, right? They hated him, you know, for the favor that he had with his father. But as you continue to read on in Genesis chapter 37, you know, now Joseph is having these dreams, right? And not only is he having these dreams, but he's telling these dreams to his brother, right? And then to his father and mother. And because these dreams involve them bowing down to him, you know, they're really offended by it now, right? They're really upset. And in Genesis 37 and 8, it says, not only did they hate him for his dream, but they hated him for his words. Like, they couldn't even speak peaceably with him. Like, anything that he had to say, you know, they were like offended by, they were bothered by, right? And we see this happen in families, right? You know, no matter what family, once again, that is, and I'm gonna keep reiterating that, no matter if it's a regular family member, you know, church family member, you know, working, you know, family member as a, you know, or like a working relationship or a coworker, whatever, you know, sometimes we get in situations where we can't speak peaceably with certain people, right? Like, we're almost offended by them even just opening their mouths, right? And this is how they felt about Joseph. And it got so bad that one day when his father sent him to check on his brothers, they saw him coming and they said, listen, here comes this dreamer now. Let's kill him and see what becomes of his dreams. Now, a couple of things there. You know, when we just go back to Joseph telling them their dreams, right? You know, some may say, listen, you got to be careful with who you tell your dreams. And that's absolutely true, right? But obviously, he was probably excited about it. The Bible don't really tell us. And maybe he was being a little boastful about it. Who knows? But for one, we learn that you can't tell everybody everything, right? Everything is not meant for everybody's ears. But also, the fact that they were so upset that they're willing to kill him for something that's a part of him, right? Because this dream that he explains to them, this is a part of him. This is something that we see later on that's going to happen. And anytime you get upset with somebody to the point of where, you know, you want to do something to them for whatever it is that they said or whatever, you know, dream they have or idea they had, like, that's a bad place to be. Because sometimes what that'll show us as well is that, listen, maybe you're not working on the thing that you should be working on. Maybe you don't understand what it is that you have been placed here for, because there's no way that you should ever find yourself in a position, you know, whether it's a family member, whether it's somebody you meet, that they're telling you what it is that, you know, the ideas they have and what it is that they're trying to do, that you become like hateful inside, right? Angry to the point of, you know, maybe you don't want to kill them physically, but you try to kill them spiritually or mentally. You start talking down on what it is that they're trying to do or telling them it's not going to work. Or you know somebody that tried that and it didn't work. But this is how angry they were with Joseph because of his dream, because of the favor that he had on his life, and because of his words. And this is their family member. This is their brother that they're talking about killing. And guess what? We look nowadays in today's society and where we are, you know, in this world, in this day and time, look at how many siblings are killing each other. Look how many, you know, kids are killing their parents, right? Husbands killing their wives, wives killing their husbands. And now we have these domestic situations where, you know, back in the days, and listen, none of it is good, right? None of it should ever happen, whether that's a husband killing their wife or a wife killing their husband or, you know, father killing his kids or whatever have you. None of that's right, right? But back in the days when we seen domestics, it would be, you know, between, you know, a wife and a husband, girlfriend and boyfriend or sister and brother, and it would end there. But nowadays you have it to where, you know, they kill the husband or the wife, and then they kill the kids also, right? Like, it's just at, like, at a whole nother level, right? The hate that people have for each other nowadays. And this is the type of hate that we see Joseph's brothers have for him. So they go, they grab him, you know, they throw him in the pit. And when they threw him in the pit, they was like, you know what? You know, why just leave him in the pit and let him stay there and, you know, not, you know, uses as an opportunity to make some money off of them, sell them into slavery, right? So they go back and get Joseph. And this is something that I always think about, like really think about this. They've already done him wrong, right? Obviously, he has to be super scared in this pit. You know, his brother's done turned on him. And I'm sure in his mind, like, yes, I've explained to them my dreams. You know, I've constantly talked to them about various things. I know that they don't like the fact that Father favors me the way that he does, but I'm sure they never thought, I mean, I'm sure he never thought that it would get to this, right? And sometimes when things, you know, pop up in our lives with family members, loved ones, and they get to an extreme place, sometimes that could be very, it could be very hurtful, right? Because it's like, I never would have thought that it would have got to this. So here he is in a pit, right? You know, down in a dark pit, not knowing what was going on. And now all of a sudden he hear noises and he hear his brothers coming back talking. Think about how he probably felt for a second, that joy, like, oh man, they messing around. They was trying to scare me. Here they come, you know, to get me out of here. And then they take him out of there and then go sell him into slavery. Just think about how damaging that could be. Hurt on top of hurt. And some of you guys out there, you've experienced that, right? Hurt on top of hurt. You know, one thing happens, somebody does something to you, you know, that same person may do something even more to you, or they do something to you and then you run into somebody else, or you're dealing with somebody else and they do something to you. So this is what Joseph is experiencing. He's experiencing hurt on top of hurt. They done threw him in a pit. They done came and got him out of the pit, and now they done sold him into slavery. And I also want to talk to you guys that may be on the other side of this, right? You may not be the victim in this matter. You may be the you may be the suspect in this matter, right? You may be the one that's throwing somebody in a pit or you know, talking down on somebody or selling them out or doing whatever have you. Like, listen, that's a terrible thing. Like, we don't understand how damaging this could be to another individual. And sometimes our words hurt. And sometimes we don't mean, you know, the things that we say the way that they come out. But once we say those things and they come out, you know, sometimes we can't take those things back. So we got to be careful with how we say things. And guess what? Everybody don't handle, you know, everything the same way. Sometimes you can say stuff in the sweetest way and be honest with somebody and they can't handle it, right? So here we see hurt on top of hurt. You know, we see that he didn't get along with his family. You know, now he's parted ways with his family. And that's another thing. When we part ways, right? Like, now we've separated ourselves from these individuals. And that's what I wanted to touch on earlier, that I started to touch on. You know, everybody don't handle these situations well. But when we see, when we look at Joseph, what we see happen is he goes through that hurt, but now he's separated from his family. He's living in a strange land. He's a slave. He's going through all these different things. He ends up getting lied on by Potiphar's wife. He gets, you know, thrown in jail, you know, just one thing after another. But the beautiful thing about Joseph is through all of that, he saw it through, right? And that's the thing. Everybody don't handle those situations in those ways. Some people, they start out good, you know, everything didn't go the way that they expected. They separated ways from whoever it is that they got into it or have a problem with, and they start out okay. But then when life continues to hit them with curveballs, then they just go into this place where they depressed, you know, they're not themselves. And, you know, unfortunately, it can lead to some very, you know, sad situations. But then we have some people that may go on for a little while, you know, and, you know, go through some things, you know, things hit their life or whatever have you. And once again, they give up. But when we look here at Joseph, he went through all of these different things and he didn't allow it to break his spirit, right? He didn't allow it to make him stop believing in God or stop believing in, you know, relationships or the possibility of things getting better. Even though he's in this prison situation, even though he's in these different strange houses, God is still showing him favor. God is still letting him know that he's with him. And some of you out there, listen, your relationships may not be going well, but God is still showing you, like, listen, I'm still with you though, right? Like, there's still hope. There's still good things to come. You know, don't get depressed. Don't get down. You know, sometimes you're going to have to encourage yourself. And listen, even if God don't mend those relationships or those relationships don't get back right, God will bring people into your life, right? You know, that you can build new relationships with, right? But I want to share something with Joseph that I think is important for both sides, you know, the victim side, the one that's been victimized, and also the ones that's on the suspect side. Because if you know the story of Joseph, it was way deeper than just what they had done to him, right? Like, even though they had done this to him and they were totally wrong, no excusing it, they didn't realize that it was something that was working out for their good. And that was one of the main things I wanted to encourage those of you out there that have been hurt. You know, you're off on your own now. You don't want to have nothing to do with certain individuals. Like, this is the thing that you cannot forget. You know, where you are, you know, may be a place of, you know, being able to help them later on down the road. And I know sometimes we don't want to hear that, right? Sometimes it's the total opposite. Like, you know, I think about my own personal situation where, you know, I swear sometimes I feel like there's certain things that should have happened for me by now, just by the way that I'm living my life, the things that I'm striving to do for the Lord, and they haven't happened. And sometimes, and this is me being transparent, sometimes I ask myself, well, is it because of maybe some things that happened in my past that if these things happen to me, that I may get funny with somebody or, you know, or not have so much for individuals that I feel like have done me wrong? I don't believe that's the case, but who knows? Because guess what? When people have done you wrong, sometimes those things are in the back of your mind, right? And one thing about me that God has blessed me with is to be able to see when somebody's trying to play me. Whether they know it or not, right? Even if I still help them out, I know that they're trying to play me. And I'm like, man, I don't want to get into a position where God open up some, you know, certain types of doors. And then all of a sudden, you know, I change, you know, or I get different, or, you know, I harbor resentment against these individuals. Like, oh, y'all tried to play me then, or now y'all want to be all friendly because you see these things happening. It's like, Lord, I want to make sure that that's not in me. And the reason why I'm mentioning that is because sometimes that's what could be there, right? Sometimes for some people, that's what's motivating them, right? That's what's motivating them to be better. Like, I'm going to show them. But sometimes God is like, no, that's not the attitude I want you to have. That's not the spirit that I want you to have. They were being ignorant, right? They were being harsh. They was being negative. They was being nasty. But what they didn't realize is that the thing that they were hurting and being harmful to is later on going to be a blessing to them. And if you are in that position, right, if that is something that God wants you to be for these individuals, you got to keep the right spirit. You got to keep the right mindset, right? And I want to show you what Joseph did, because it's so beautiful. And that's why I wanted to talk about relationships on today. Like, don't let them get you down to the point of where you bitter and you upset and, you know, you're just not functioning right. You know, you just got an attitude with everybody. You don't want to help nobody, forget everybody. You know, it's just me against the world. Like, you don't never want to get in that place because it's not a good place. But Genesis 45 verses 3-8, listen to what it says. Now, this is when, you know, Joseph is the ruler, the second ruler of Egypt. You know, he's basically running you know, Pharaoh's, you know, whole kingdom, and there's a famine in the land. And because the famine has affected his brothers and his father and his and their whole entire family, they have to now come to Egypt to get food and, you know, just to basically see what's going on. And, you know, this is where Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. But I want you to see what he says when he reveals himself to his brothers and the attitude that he has. And when you read this story, if you haven't read it, please read it. It starts in Genesis chapter 37, and I think it goes to like 52, somewhere around there. But read Joseph's story, because it speaks volumes to the type of attitude and spirit we are to have when opposition, when we keep on facing opposition. And I talk about that all the time here on the podcast and on the YouTube channel that, listen, in order to fulfill your purpose, you have to deal with opposition. There's no way around it. That's just how God made it. Opposition is inevitable. It's going to happen. There's no way around opposition. But if you can keep the right spirit and the right attitude while you're dealing with that opposition, guess what? Then you're going to get to that promised land. You're going to get to that end goal. You're going to get to that finish line, right? But listen to what Joseph says to his brothers when he reveals himself to them. Genesis chapter 45, verses 3-8. It says, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence," right? And they should be, right? Because this is somebody that you felt you killed, you know, many, many years ago. And here it is, your brother telling you, listen, you know, not only am I your brother, but they also understand the type of position that he's in and the type of power he has now. Because obviously they don't know what place he's coming from or what he's getting ready to say. So I'm sure that they're troubled, right? They're worried about their own behinds and what could possibly happen to them. But listen to what verse 4 says. It says, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt." And it says, "Now therefore be," listen to what he says to them, "Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." So listen, he already starts off by giving them encouragement and somewhat giving them a pass. And this is not to excuse what they've done, but he says, listen, don't be grieved and don't be angry with yourselves. How many of us, you know, if God brought certain relationships back to us or brought us back together with individuals that hurt us and done us bad, and now we're in a position of power, we're in a position that they never thought we could be in. Maybe they even talked down on us and said, you'll never be nothing. And now here you are, this big executive, this big CEO, or maybe you're the pastor of a church or whatever, you, wherever you are in your life at that particular time. How many of us are going to be able to say to the person that victimized us, that did us wrong really for no reason, just because of some words that we shared with them, some dreams that we shared with them, maybe some disagreements that we had with them, you know, where it was no cause for them to do this to us, how many of us are going to be able to look them in the eye in our position of power, you know, in our position of freedom, and say, listen, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. That is super powerful, because I'm sure if we did a survey of how many people have ever fell into this position, it probably would be a higher percentage of, now I'm going to pay you back. Now I'm going to tell you how I feel about you and what you've done to me, and let you know how you ain't nothing and how now you need me, and so on and so forth. But that's not what he did. And this is why I wanted to talk about this today, because we are in a place in time, especially for those of us that are in the household of faith and saved, that we don't want any divisions and schisms and isms and all of these different things going on. We need to be together like never before. And that goes for our natural families as well. Some of these things that have happened in our life, and I'm not minimizing anything, you know what has happened and what somebody has done to you. And if you can connect back with that person, if that's what God's will is, but if you can, you know, and it's not that serious, and even if it's serious, if you can and you guys can make that situation up and get back together and get tight again, it is super important, because the things that are hitting this earth, the things that are happening in this natural realm that starts out in the spiritual realm, we see it. It's chaos out here, whether that's the weather, whether that's human beings, It's insane. So you're going to need somebody. You know, yes, we have God, right? And we love to say, all I need is God. But listen, if God just intended you just to have him, then he wouldn't have given you family, right? He wouldn't have made a body of Christ. There's a reason why God wants us to be in fellowship with others and be a family with others. Remember, Galatians 6 and 10 says, you know, when you have an opportunity, he says, be good unto all men, but especially those that are of the household of faith, right? So we need each other. So these relationships, we need them mended. If God is trying to mend them, let him mend them. Don't fight it. You know, if God is bringing, you know, that relationship back together again, don't fight it. Don't be upset. Don't hold on to old grudges and what they did to you and what they said to you. I get it. It hurts. But look at Joseph. His brother sold him into slavery and he went through crazy stuff in that time frame before he ran into them again. He could be super bitter, but he is not, right? Because he understands that life and God's purpose is way bigger than him. And that's the bottom line of it, right? Like, listen, this life is way bigger than us. The purpose that God has for our life is way bigger than us. So we have to get out of our feelings and get out of the way and allow God to have his way, right? But let me finish reading this up so we can close out the podcast. He says, now, therefore, be not grieved. I'm going to read that again. Nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be airing nor harvest. So he says, listen, it's going to be bad for the next couple years. And God sent me before you. God sent me before you. So what you intended for evil, God worked it out for my good, right? You know, we love to quote that scripture, Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for the good of those that love God and those that are called according to his purpose. So Joseph fits that perfectly, right? Because we know that he loves God because of the decisions that we've seen him make in Potiphar's house. You know, decisions of giving, you know, Pharaoh a word, like we see his integrity. So we see his love for God. You know, he said, listen, shall I sin against God and do this thing? Absolutely not. And then we see, obviously, that this was the purpose of God. So he's a like when we look at Romans 8 and 28, Joseph picture should be right there. Right. So he says, listen. He says, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. And to save your lives by a great deliverance. Yes, they did you wrong. You know, they talked about you, whatever it is. Maybe they excommunicated you from them. But listen, what God is doing in your life could be way bigger than just about what they did to you and what happened to you. It could be to preserve their life, right? It could be something that God is doing in you to help them down the road. They're ignorant. They're doing ignorant things. They're talking crazy, doing silly stuff. They don't understand, just like his brothers didn't understand, right? Like what they was doing was going to help them out later down the road. Look at how graceful and merciful God is, right? So we got to be careful not to take this stuff super personal. Yes, it's personal because it hurt us, but listen, we got to really get in tune with God and say, listen, God, help me with this situation because I don't want to miss you in this. If this situation is for me to then turn around and do something for them or help this individual out or help another individual out, because sometimes we'll carry what was done to us here to a whole nother relationship or to a whole nother family and put on them what these people over here have done to us, right? So this is what we want. We want to be able to have this type of spirit and this relationship with God. He says, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And this is the next verse is the last one I'm going to read. He says, so now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he have made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. So one thing that we see here that Joseph understands is that, listen, nothing can happen to me unless God allows it, right? No doors can open unless God allows it, right? The only time where I get in trouble is when I walk through doors that God didn't intend me to walk through, right? You know, me not seeking God and getting that guidance from God, you know, for him to lead and guide me the right way. That's when I get myself in trouble. But when I'm like Joseph, and, you know, wherever I go, I honor God. You know, I put God first, whether I end up in jail or whatever have you. As long as I'm putting God first and doing what it is that God has told me to do, and I'm being led by His Spirit, even if the situation don't feel good, don't look good, I know I'm going to end up where I am supposed to be. Why? Because God always has everything under control. And listen, I'm speaking to myself right now. Like, while I'm talking to you guys, it's almost like I'm looking in the mirror speaking to myself, because I have things going on right now that, you know, sometimes can feel discouraging, some things that I'm trying to do and work out. And I'm like, man, why is this not working? I don't feel like I'm doing anything wrong or doing anything crazy, but it's not working out. But listen, this is the thing that I have to understand. Listen, this is the path that God has me on. This is how it's going to happen. This is how it's going to work out. It's not going to happen how I think it should happen, or when I think it should happen, but it's going to happen. And I just got to go through whatever it is I got to go through to get to that finish line, right? And that's what I'm encouraging you guys today, right? Don't take these things personal, right? Don't take it, especially don't take it personal to the point where you allow it to poison your own life, right? Because when people do stuff to us and they hurt us and they go their separate ways, or they do whatever it is that they're doing, the problem is they go on and live their life, and we allow that poison that they planted in us to kill us, right? We go somewhere in a corner and get all depressed and down. And now, you know, all of a sudden we can't hardly live our life. We dragging ourselves around doing certain things, and they off partying and doing whatever it is that, you know, they need to do. So we can't let it affect us in that way. We got to go forward. We got to do the purpose of God. We got to do what it is that He's called us to do, so that we can get to the place where He wants us to be. And that place may be a place of deliverance for them, or maybe a place of deliverance for somebody else. Some of the things that we went through, right, is to teach us so that we can encourage somebody else that may go through the same thing that we have went through. So I wanted to encourage you guys. Listen, be like Joseph. If anybody could speak to family hurt, right? If anybody could speak to any type of hurt, right, it's Joseph. And I see it all the time. I see the family hurt. I see, you know, the marital hurt. I see the church hurt. I talk to a lot of people, right? A lot of people talk to me. They feel comfortable talking to me about certain situations. And I think some of it is because they know that they don't have to worry about me going and sharing it with somebody else. And I try to really be genuine with people and be upfront and be honest and transparent with people about, you know, my own things that I might have went through or gone through, right? So I don't try to sit there and act like, you know, nothing has never happened to me. I've never been in any through anything, whether that's when I wasn't saved or when I was saved. And I think that makes them comfortable to talk to me. So I talk to people all the time and see the different things that they go through. But what, you know, I try to encourage them, and I'm encouraging you, don't be a pretender. Don't pretend like these things don't bother you and that you're not hurt by these things. Let God heal you of these things. Stop yelling blessed and highly favored. Not to say that you're not, but yelling that as almost like a mask to mask your hurt. Like, no, if you know that you've been hurt and you're not willing or able to go and talk to that individual about what they've done to you, or maybe you tried and it just turns into an argument in the back and forth, well, give it to God. You did your part, right? Go through your process. Go through whatever it is that you got to go through. When we look at Joseph, I think he went through what he went through for about like 13 years. So his turnaround didn't come right away. You know, and once again, that's encouraging me right now, right? Like, his turnaround didn't come right away. Some things take time. God has to structure it and put it how it needs to be so it can work out perfectly for your life, so it can work out the way He intended, so that not only do you come out blessed, but everybody that's around you and that's going to be affected by the outcome can be blessed as well. So I pray that this encouraged you guys. I pray that you got something from it. And I'm here to encourage you. Listen, family is important, whether that's natural family, church family, whatever have you, you know, body of Christ. You know, I don't even want to use the word church family, but the body of Christ, because it's more spiritual than it is the building. Even though the building is important and the fellowship and getting together is important, but in the natural and the spiritual, you know, we need to make sure that our family structures is tight as we can make it, or as tight as it is it allowed to be, right? But we want to make sure that if there is any division there or something going on, that we're not the cause of it. We can't control other people. We got to let them do what they you know, got to do or what they want to do. We can't control them, but we can control us and make sure that we playing our part the right way, that we're playing our part with the same spirit that Joseph had, same attitude that he had. And another thing that happened where we see Joseph standing on integrity, and I'm truly going to close out with this, is that after their father died, his brothers got nervous because they was like, oh, he was just waiting until our dad died and then he was going to get us. And it's like, nah. Joseph still had the same attitude, still had the same spirit. It wasn't about revenge, none of that, because he understood that his purpose was bigger than what happened to him. So know that I love you guys. And until the next time we hop on the podcast together, Shalom.